some barnstorming games this week, Sharps. Thoroughly enjoyed watching the NFL this week. Let's start with those Thanksgiving games. Lions over the Bears, Cowboys over the Giants, Packers over the Dolphins. I've been hearing people say that win by the Lions, 23-20 over the Bears, it kind of shook the confidence in the Lions a little bit, especially since we've got the Eagles kind of coming in hot. What did you make of it? Because was it Lions win or Bears loss?
I mean, it's tough to say. I think as long as you win the game, which they did, for me, it shouldn't shake too much confidence, because, you know, it's always a case of, yeah, it was close, it was gritty, but we got to the end, we're still 11-1. So I think every time you win, you know, you just got to say, it's kind of like the Chiefs mentality. Like this year, they've certainly not been rolling. You know, we've said there's been sort of four or five games where it's been one score they could have lost, but they don't, and, you know, the Chiefs don't care. So if the Lions are going to be a perennial challenger, you know, like the Chiefs are, like everyone's aiming to be, you've got to have a little bit of arrogance, I think, and just say, yeah, we won, don't care.
Yeah, I totally agree. I get that kind of Philadelphia is the new hotness at the minute, and, you know, we're already bored of the Lions being unbelievable. But, you know, if you watch that game, I would say that they were in control of it. I know the Bears had a good second half and they were coming back, but you never really felt convinced that the Bears were going to do anything other than maybe tie the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those games that I think the score makes it look closer than it actually was, and I think the kind of the worries are a bit of an overreaction. Obviously, the Cowboys beat the Giants. I mean, not much to talk about. They're two bad teams playing bad football. But, yeah, as I said last week, it was, of course, the most watched game of the year, because that middle Cowboys game at Thanksgiving always is. Packers, again, proving that the Dolphins cannot play in the cold, you know, unfortunately for the Dolphins.
You are right.
But speaking of the Chiefs, now, I do think they did squeak past the Raiders, I'm not going to lie, on Friday night, the Black Friday game, 19-17 against a pretty average Raiders team that are destined to just kind of restart this summer.
Yeah.
Is this, given what you've just said 2 minutes ago about the Lions, Sharples, is this just rinse and repeats for the Chiefs as well?
I think if you just go with your head, it probably is. And it doesn't, to me, take away any kind of Super Bowl aspirations. However, I think there is a difference in that the Lions have been absolutely steamrolling people. You know, they had a stretch recently where they were just absolutely scoring for fun. The offensive linemen were getting in on it. The Chiefs haven't had a stretch like that. You know, they have been consistently scraping through it. And so I think there's probably a little bit more cause for concern there. And also, you know, I think it's the fact that they've set themselves really high standards over the past couple of years. And even the years before then, when they weren't necessarily winning Super Bowls, but they still looked like complete offensive juggernaut, which I think is the position that the Lions are filling now. So I do agree. I think that there is more concern over Chiefs because we've seen it a bit more. But ultimately, you know, if your goal's winning, which theirs is, they are doing it, and so it's hard to say otherwise. But what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to keep up with the discourse as well because it changes every week.
It really does.
With the American sports media, one week the Ravens are the best team you've ever seen. The next minute, the Ravens aren't the real deal. And now, of course, it's Philadelphia and it's the Bills. This is the best Bills team we've ever seen. The Bills are finally there, blah, blah, blah. But we hear this every single year about particularly the Ravens and the Bills. I pick those two teams because we're here every single year when either of those teams is on a good spell. It's their Super Bowl to lose. They're on track for it this season. They might lose a couple of games or have some wobbles, and then it's all of a sudden, oh, no, they're not the team that we thought they were going to be. You know, the Bills, with that 35-10 win over the Niners in the snow this week, everyone's going to be saying, you know, crown them now, they're going to the Super Bowl, all this. I've heard this one before, I don't know. Whereas, you know, Kansas City are just grinding it out, and, yeah, it's not been pretty, but they were kind of getting complimented for these not pretty wins earlier in the season. So I don't know. I still think if you go into the Super Bowl in the AFC, you will have to go through the Chiefs, regardless of whether it's in Arrowhead or at your stadium. And of course, if the Bills want to host or want to have a bye and host all the playoff games, then they need to hope the Chiefs lose, because obviously they hold a tiebreaker on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But again, you need to hope the Chiefs lose, which they've only done once this season. Good luck with that. Who is the most, or rather, what is the biggest con? The Vikings at 10-2, or the Texans at 8-5? Who's the biggest con artist here, Sharples?
It pains me to say it. I would have to say it's the Texans, purely because the Vikings are in a division with the Lions and the Packers, who we've already, you know, talked about the Lions, but the Packers are no joke either. Whereas the Texans in their division, they should be 10-2.
Yeah.
And they're just not. Yeah. It's just really hard to put your finger on it. You know, like when you look at it sort of just from like a mathematical point of view. Like last year, really good. You add really good defensive piece, really good offensive piece. Why doesn't it just work, Al? Why doesn't it work?
I want to say that I think Stroud hasn't been protected a great deal this year. Mm-hmm. I think there's been a lot of kind of they've got a division winners schedule this year, so they got a harder schedule. They kind of beat up on a lot of bad teams last year, and Stroud did look great, and I do think he's a really great player, but I think it's been a bit of a smackdown to earth this year for him. I think he looks maybe not confident. He's not making throws that he was making regularly last year. I think, you know, we'll get onto it when we look at the busts of this week, but has there been a bigger disappointment, particularly at the wide receiver position, than Tank Dell this year? You know, this offense last year, whereas it was kind of like, you know, throw the ball to Dell and Collins and both of them are going to go off. This year it's like the passing game relies so heavily on Nico Collins, and their offense should be better, because you look at the numbers that Joe Mixon has added to that team.
Been a revelation, yeah.
Yeah, so you think to yourself, but the offense is worse. I don't know, you know, I think I said last week, it's why you take those head coaching opportunities, why they come, because no one's going to be knocking on Bobby Slowick's office door for a head coaching vacancy this year, you know, the offensive coordinator, because the wheels have kind of fallen off. And yeah, you're going to beat the Jaguars, because the Jaguars are one of the worst teams in the league. But I mean, I think it's consensus out of every playoff team in both the AFC and the NFC that the Texans are going to be a one and done.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, the fact that they've even left the door open for the Colts, who are now sort of, well, Texans are 8-5, Colts are 6-7. I still think the Texans will top the division, but the fact that there's even a discussion about it is ridiculous for me, given how bad the Colts and the rest of the AFC South have been this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of divisions, or South divisions, I should say, the NFC South. Now, you had Bryce Young impressing, but the Panthers lost to the Buccaneers this week, and the Buccaneers are now 6-6 with the Falcons. Falcons on that 3-game losing streak, on a bit of a slide. Now, I believe if you check the tape and you go back 4 weeks before the Falcons losing streak started, they were my not buying it win, because I said that everyone is saying this division is wrapped up now, and I don't believe that. I know that they hold the tiebreaker on the Buccaneers because they beat them twice, but I just don't believe that the Falcons have got this division tied up. And lo and behold, 3 weeks later, or 4 weeks later, I should say, we're here.
Yeah.
Both teams 6-6. Clearly, the Buccaneers look like the better team here. How much of this game did you see the other night? Like, or how much of Kirk Cousins did you see?
Yeah, not a whole lot. I didn't exactly have it circled on my calendar as a must-watch. I checked the stat sheet at the end of the game and saw 4 interceptions and just went, oh, okay.
As you would. I mean, it's it was bizarre. Some of the interceptions were bizarre that he threw. And, like, again, hard to keep up because this cycle of we love them, we hate them, we hate them, we love them, we hate them in the kind of American sports media. That's been the same with Cousins this year. He's had huge 500-yard games this year. He's had games where he kind of looks like old Kirk Cousins. But if there's one thing Kirk Cousins went to the Falcons to not do, it's give the ball away. He was supposed to be kind of a veteran who you give him time in the pocket and he'll slice and dice defenses. And I like Kirk Cousins, but this was like regression of a player, of an offense. I mean, one or two more games of this and they've got to think about putting Penix in there or something.
And I mean, wouldn't it be funny as well if that was the case? Penix looks, you know, maybe not amazing, but looks good, competent. Mm. And then for all the stick that we get in on draft day for drafting Penix when they've got Cousins and people saying, oh, it might pay off in 2-3 years' time, it would be very interesting if it paid off this season.
That would be great. That would be great. I mean, you need someone that's going to get the most out of those offensive pieces, and Bijan Robinson gets enough work in that offense to score the fantasy points, but everyone else is currently being wasted a little bit at the minute. But Buccaneers, they're kind of keeping going, 2-game win streak now. As I mentioned, Bryce Young might have saved himself a job either in Carolina or somewhere else, but both South divisions are the worst divisions in the conference, and I think they both have the most likely team in the conference to go on and done in the playoffs as well. Elsewhere, we mentioned the Eagles handling the Ravens and the Broncos beating the Browns in a hell of a Monday night game. Wow. Loads of points, high-flying offense, Jerry Jeudy putting up a few hundred yards out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because that guy is not a good player. doing a lot of chirping after the game, but, you know, they lost, unfortunately. speaking of quarterbacks or kind of quarterbacks that used to be on the Vikings, we're talking about Kirk Cousins a minute ago. I just sent you and Lewis something funny the other day. Thought I'd read it out on the pod because I think it's a good point as well, because obviously the Vikings' current quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, and recently signed to the practice squad, Daniel Jones. It's an Instagram post and it reads, "Should Giants sign Daniel Jones? ? Should the Giants sign Daniel Jones? With Tommy DeVito being injured after Sunday's game and with Drew Lock as the only other active quarterback on the roster, should the Giants sign veteran quarterback Daniel Jones to a veterans deal as insurance? He could even become a potential starter if he gets a chance. Win-win scenario for the team that desperately needs a quarterback." Good shout there, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's something the Giants should consider.
I'm actually not excited, but I think it's funny that DeVito got hurt purely because now Drew Lock comes in, and there was that whole, oh, they're not starting Drew Lock because they don't want to be very good. So we're expecting now Drew Lock to come in and they win every game for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
that's what they were afraid of.
The irony that they would be too good with
Drew Lock. Too good with Drew Lock.
It's like, why? Who are you putting there instead of him? Just like an empty helmet lied on the floor. It's like, come on now. We've seen Drew Lock play. I mean, what I will say is if he's a bit of a gunslinger, then that's good things for people like Malik Nabers. But I mean, never worry about being too good with Drew Lock.
Yeah, I mean, he's a competent backup. I would say that. I'm not saying he's a complete bum, but just the fact that they were like, oh, we better not play him just in case.
Just in case he goes off.
Yeah.
Good one. Speaking of players who did go off, a lot of good performances this week. Not many that really took the roof off. You did have Jeudy with that 40 points. Amazing morning if you had pieces in that Monday night game, because you had Jeudy with 40 points, Jameis with 32 in that game, and Njoku with 26 as well. So you were happy if you were a NFL fan in England and you play fantasy football and you went to bed starting Jeudy or Jameis or Njoku. I think Njoku's probably the only one of those that was realistically started. You got a nice game out of him. Brock Bowers, 30 points. Mm. Tight end, 1 for the foreseeable. And by foreseeable, I mean next few years. Definitely. Josh Allen, passing touchdown, rushing touchdown, receiving touchdown. There we go. Now, I'm seeing conflicting reports. It's quite ambiguous whether he got a passing and receiving touchdown on that same play. I feel like he did.
I thought he did. I thought that was the...
Yeah, I'm assuming that's where... Because obviously he would have got the receiving touchdown for that, but it's whether one of the passing touchdowns comes from that as well. I think it does.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jaden Daniels, 27 points. They had that huge win. The Commanders did stomp in the Titans. They just kind of bull raced them, and the game was done by the second quarter. Wow, Russell Wilson, 414 yards, 3 touchdowns. The Steelers, I think they're 9-3. Am I correct in saying the Steelers are 9-3? Yep. The 9-3, top of that division. Speaking of teams that I think could go deep into the playoffs, are you with me on that one?
I wasn't, but games like this where they put up this amount of points does make me reflect on that, because my thing with the Steelers has been obviously fantastic defensively, but I just think they get found out in the playoffs because they can't put up enough points. But not saying they have to put up 44 points every week, but if they can, you know, avoid having games where all they do is kick field goals, which they have plenty of, then they could make a real push. Yeah,
I mean, Wilson still throws an amazing deep ball, and it clearly, what if it's just as simple as it just wasn't a fit with Hackett and Peyton, and Russell Wilson needs a specific thing to thrive, and that specific thing is what they're doing in Pittsburgh at the minute. They're kind of heavy use of the run game, good defense, take a shot when we need you to, Russ, look after the ball, make some magic here and there like you did in Seattle. Not being this guy that's going to kind of like throws exactly on time and dice up the opposition and that kind of thing, but like a guy that's going to run the offense to a very high level. I mean, I'm going to say it. I think Russ is back. I think he's back to what he was in Seattle, and I think he could be back for the rest of this year and at least another year after this. I think he just looks like a solid... He looks like that player who was on the trajectory to the Hall of Fame. What is Russell Wilson? How old is he now? Let me check how old Russell Wilson is. Russell Wilson's 36 now, and it looks like... Of course, he still looks like a 36-year-old. I'm not saying it's Russell Wilson of you know, 5 or 6 years ago,
yeah.
But I'm saying that he looks like 36-year-old Russell Wilson if he was in Seattle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same guy now. Obviously a little bit older, a little less mobile, but this is that guy back, I think.
I'm not quite ready to say it just yet. I need to say
I know we've been burned a lot, especially on this podcast, by Russell Wilson.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just think he looks really good and he fits here. 34 players this week scoring over 20 fantasy points. Now, that's on the higher side of the average. I had a quick skim through of kind of the weekly fantasy points. Normally, on average, about 30 players will score 20 points or more. Interestingly, though, week 10, only 18 players scored over 20 fantasy points. Now, I bet if we went back and listened to that week 10 episode, we were losing our minds about players and how many points they scored. It makes sense now, because you flick through fantasy points scored over the year, and that week 10 is an anomaly. Yeah. Just like barely anyone scored any points. And it happens to be the week where a player scored like 50 or something, though, so that was mental. But anyway, speaking of players who didn't score many fantasy points, week 13 busts. Just have to scroll through Lewis's team for this one.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go. He's not here. The best thing about that is he's not here to defend himself, which is how we like to insult people.
Yeah, he's going to be sat in a lovely Parisian cafe eating a croissant, sipping on his coffee, and he's going to choke on it just as he hears that.
Yeah, and he might choke on it because Lewis doesn't drink coffee as well. That could be a problem there.
That as well. He's been given the wrong order. He ordered hot
chocolate. Yeah, exactly. Coffee. Exactly. But sorry, Lewis was the first person knocked out of our main league. It's a crazy competitive main league this year. We've had one player that's kind of run away with it from the start, hasn't he, Sharps? And then there's 10 of us in the league. There's four people currently locked into the playoffs, two more playoff spots, and five people vying for those playoff spots. Lou's the only person in the whole league that's counted out. But, I mean, to have everyone in the league still viable until, you know, a week, 2 weeks before the playoffs start is crazy, I think.
Yeah, and it's a first for us. I think we've always had previously at least one or two that just got it wrong in the draft or had bad luck with injuries, and normally they're out of it with a few weeks left. But I think this year's been interesting. Obviously, we've had the runaway regular season winner, but then there was teams that were pretty consistently second and third who suddenly lost a few. Teams like myself, who were pretty consistently lower, had then won a few, and then suddenly we've all met in the middle, and it's going to come down to this last week, which is probably, not for me, because I'm the one in the playoff hunt, and I'm on the outside looking in, but for the neutral, it's going to be a tasty week 14.
Yeah, I mean, we had a player in our league start 0-5, and then he won these next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then he won 5 of his next 6 games, and he's in the hunt, so, you know, just goes to show you, sometimes awful starts, you can turn it around with a trade or two. And, you know, this person traded with another player in our league who had a better record, and the trade clearly worked for both parties. The person with a better record wanted an elite player. The person with the 0-5 record wanted to get rid of their elite player and get more pieces, and it just worked out for both of them. Players that weren't very good this week: Cooper Cup, 4.7 points. We mentioned Tank Dell with 3.3. CD Lamb, 5.9. I know he got banged up a little bit, or he came into the game banged up rather, but, you know, he played 67% of the snaps, I believe, so he was out there. George Kittle, 1.7. This was a bit of a killer, I'm afraid. Breece Hall, 6 points. Ken Walker, 6 points as well. I mean, no one really goosed you unless you played someone like a Ricky Pearsall, but there was too many average performances. I mean, realistically, all those names that I mentioned then, you could have had them on one team. You know, Cope, Dell, Lamb, Kittle, Hall, Walker, and you had a bad week when you needed the most. I mean, what have you made of Breece Hall this year, by the way? Because I've been pretty underwhelmed based on what I thought he was going to be. So he's the running back 11 at the minute. He's averaging 15 fantasy points. And obviously he had a big game a couple of weeks ago. But apart from that, what, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4 games on the year of plus 20 fantasy points. I mean, I was, before the year, ready to crown him kind of the new, you know, every week 20 points kind of guy. And I've been severely disappointed by Breece Hall. I don't know about you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he was, thinking back to draft day, he was certainly going top five. I saw him getting picked at 2 and 3 in certain drafts. And so, you know, while he's not been disastrous, like you say, RB 11, but for where you drafted him, you know, you want a top three back there, really. I don't question the talent. I think we saw it last year. He has been hit with injuries in the past, but we've certainly seen it. I just think in this particular team, with everything that's going on, it's just been hard. They've had no consistency. You know, it'll be win one, then lose two, and then maybe get away. You know, there's just been just no solid foundation. So hard one to project. But I think he might be a candidate of, he drops in drafts next year and you pick him up sort of in the second round. And I think, well, I wouldn't be surprised if he suddenly is back as a top three back. I think a top three running back. I think he's got that talent. It's just a very messy situation in New York at the minute, and not really sure how the cards are going to fall.
I agree. It's like, I know that a lot of times, kind of, the wide receivers feel like they're more susceptible to having the fantasy value hit by kind of like a change in, or an offense that's in flux, whereas the running backs are going to be there all the time. But it's no doubt hindered Hall this year. I think I'm probably on record on this podcast saying that I would have drafted him second overall this year after McCaffrey, and that would have been an awful decision. awful decision because, yeah, he's not been able to overcome the circumstances that he's in, which we see year after year. You know, you want these players in good situations. You want the players that are going to get the ball all the time. And maybe you just don't want a player that's around Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that's the maybe that's the lesson to be learned from here. But how about some teams? How about the not buying it win? Let's start with that this week, Shavels. Who was your not buying it win?
Shaking the order up, Al. Lou is not going to be happy with you.
I know, yeah. I forgot that he does a specific order. I mean, we forgot to do this all together last time.
And we felt his wrath, yeah. I went for the Colts. Like I mentioned, the fact that they're still able to sniff around a playoff spot with how bad they've been and how inconsistent they've been this season was surprising to me. And I don't understand what this offense is anymore. You know, they scraped past New England this week, I believe. You know, New England have been a bit of a punching bag for most teams this year, but the Colts made it a real fight. Fantasy-wise, you just don't know who to pick. You know, is it going to be... Are they going to give the ball to Jonathan Taylor? Is Richardson suddenly going to get a couple of rushing touchdowns? Is Pittman going to be the guy that they signed the big deal to? Or, you know, will it be a big play for Josh Allen? It's just... Yeah, all fantasy and real life, just a lot of uncertainty. Mm. And I just... Yeah, I although they're second in the division and they've got a sniff of it, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go with a team which also I think it's got a lot of uncertainty, and it's my Dallas Cowboys not buying it win. 27-20 over the Giants. I just don't think there was anything useful that you could take from this game. You had backups out there or players that you're not going to be relying on next year. You know, Rico Dowdle, nice game, but, you know, he's not going to be your starting running back next year. Plus, you've done it against a team who are awful in their own right. So it's a win, but it doesn't tell you anything whatsoever about either of those teams going forward. What about the impressive victory?
Had to go Steelers. Just for the sheer amount of points. I didn't think they were capable of putting up that many points. And while I don't like to see them giving up 38 because of how good they are, I couldn't look past them. I thought Wilson was great. I thought Pickens was great. Just, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked to put the Commanders, because the Titans did come off a really good win the week before and the Commanders just look great. But I'm going to go the Eagles because of the team that they were against, the Ravens, and they just kind of looked pretty dominant again. 24-19 sounds closer than it actually was if you watched it. The Eagles looked fully in control there. And who is the worst team in the league?
I don't think they quite are, but just for everything that's gone on. As you said last week, it's the G-E-T-S Jets.
G-E-T-S-G-E-ETS. Yeah, the G-E-T-S. See, it's a hard one because even some bad teams this week put up some points, including the G-E-T-S. I think I would have to agree with you, though, because there were times in this game where they could have kind of turned the tide and they were leading.
Yeah, they were well clear, and then
they were well clear. Was it 14 points up after the first quarter?
Yeah, and then
there was
throws the interception, and then suddenly it's just
kind of one way traffic really for the rest of the game. So again, it's that Jekyll and Hyde act with the Jets, whether it's hot in the first half, awful in the second half, awful in the first half, hot in the second half. It's, you know, they can't put consistent drives, consistent quarters, consistent games together. So, yeah, I'm going to go the Jets too. Last little bit of looking back on last week, and I know you wanted us to forget about this section, Sharples, the accountability section.
Oh, good.
Because wowzer-oony.
Yeah.
Now, we'll start with Lou. Stafford pretty much hit his projection. Rico Dowdle was a hit, but, you know, enjoy it while you can, Rico Dowdle, because I've got a feeling a certain Ashton Jeanty is on his way to Dallas, or I hope a certain Ashton Gentry is on his way to Dallas. If listeners don't know who Ashton Gentry is, Google him and look at his stats this year. Running back coming into the draft next year, unbelievable. Anyway, Devonta Smith didn't play. He couldn't go. And Freiburg, I never get that, by the way. Do you know where, like, you see them warming up and they're like, will he go, won't he go? I feel like in our football, if you're injured, you don't really even warm up or anything, do you?
Yeah.
It's not like, you don't warm up and then it's like, oh, he might still play. If someone's injured, they're not travelling or they're not warming up with the team or anything. So I never get this idea where you've got like Devonta Smith or I think there was a Brian Robinson Jr. a few weeks ago kind of warming up, headphones on, and it's like, oh, but he might not play. It's like, why? What test have they done before the game to say whether he can go on or...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I agree. I do think it's strange how they do that and how there's a big, you know, oh, we're only, you know, 90 minutes before kickoff. You're right, in football, you sort of have a good idea whether someone's going to play on. I don't know why it can't be the same in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. And Pat Freiermuth was a hit at Lewis's tight end. I had that huge game from Russell Wilson, which was a hit. Nice game from James Cook, which was a hit. AJ Brown, 11.6 points. It wasn't a terrible game, but it was a miss given his projection. And Taysom Hill, now I've got him at 9.7, which will be a miss, but Taysom Hill got injured in this game. So what do we put it down as?
I wouldn't call it a miss. If they go off injured, then
our spiritual king did go off badly injured, which I'll get into in a moment. Sharples, Baker Mayfield, miss at the tight end. I felt for sure that he was going to have a good game. Kareem Hunt, miss at the running back position. Calvin Ridley, miss at the wide receiver. But fortunately, Hunter Henry with the 14.5. Funnily enough, he had a pretty high projection this past week, so this wasn't actually a hit.
He was 0.1 points away.
He was 0.1.
Baker Mayfield, annoyingly, because he went off and he was having a bad game, but he decided to come back on, so I didn't even get out of the Baker Mayfield miss by him staying off injured, which was annoying.
Yeah, it's too tough. Mayfield's too tough. Anyway, some news and injuries before we start kind of looking forward. Now, stop me if you've heard this one before. Christian McCaffrey placed on IR with a knee injury.
I have heard that. I've heard that before.
We've heard this one before, play a different one. PCL. This is like the equivalent of someone getting an acoustic guitar and playing Wonderwall at this point. Reading Christian McCaffrey. PCL injury. Now, I've seen 6 weeks, which, if I'm doing the maths, let me just get a quick calendar up here, Sharps.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the 3rd of December now. 1, 2, 3. I've got 4 weeks until New Year's Eve. I've got another 2 weeks until the middle of January. I think it's pretty presumptive of us at the moment to assume the 49ers are going to be playing football in mid-January, especially without Christian McCaffrey.
Well, they are currently bottom of the NFC West, which obviously is the tightest one, but I would definitely say it is presumptuous to assume it, Yeah.
So McCaffrey, I think that's the last we've seen of him this year. Jordan Mason placed on IR, and the other 49ers are running back, so get your waiver claims in for rookie Isaac Garendo, who has looked pretty good this year. He's really fast as well, quite an explosive player, but he will be getting all the work, and we've seen that running backs can thrive in this Shanahan system. Trevor Lawrence...
Sorry, Al, just a quick PSA. Just in case Lou does listen to this, although actually now I think about it, I don't think he'll be able to because we'll release this on Thursday. But Lou, even if you don't hear this in time, you're out of contention. So there is no point you picking up Garendo. You might as well leave him and see if I can get him.
Yeah. So I wasn't actually going to mention this here because I want him as well, and I know you're going to try and get him, Sharples. I've probably got a lot.
You're never getting him.
I've got like a low waiver priority than you, so maybe I should just up my other waiver priorities. Because are you going for him then? Yeah.
I can't confirm or deny that, Alex.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say I posted the news about Jordan Mason into a chat. One of our fantasy chats, whether it's me, Lewis and Adam, whether it's me and you, or whether it's the actual fantasy chat, and I deleted it immediately.
Yeah.
Just on the off chance that waivers came round and nobody saw the news. So I deleted it because I'm like, actually, let me just get rid of that.
Keep it under
your head. So yeah, Mason on IR, get those claims in for Guerrero. Trevor Lawrence, he's got a projection this week. I don't think he's going to play though. Mm. Concussion, awful, dirty hit, by the way, by the Texans player whose name escapes me. Did he see this?
No, I haven't seen that actually.
Wow. I mean, he's sliding and the Texans player just kind of leads with the forearm. It looks like there could be two concussions in there, one with the forearm, one with the ground. Lawrence is on the floor. It all completely kicks off like it did in college football this weekend.
Just having a look at it, it looks like the defender who is Al-Shahir, suspended 3 games. So yeah,
suspended, yeah, he got ejected. He got ejected as well. I'm not so sure whether Evan Engram got ejected in that game as well for fighting, or whether it was another Jaguars player. But yeah, terrible, terrible hit. Have a look at it while I'm reading these out. Eckler was placed on IR with a concussion, which, you know, I thought came out of nowhere a little bit. But Austin Eckler placed on IR there. Dallas Goedert, knee injuries week to week. Ladd McConkey, knee injury as well. Remains to be seen whether he'll practice this week, so I'd say maybe don't expect him to play. DK Metcalf, another knee, tweaked his knee, expected to be okay to play. And Sharples, as I alluded to, our spiritual god, Taysom Hill. ACL tear, as Lewis said, even the bionic, did he call him? He didn't call him the bionic man, he called him Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget, yeah.
Even Inspector Gadget isn't immune to the old ACL tear.
Only silver lining is it was the knee and not the face. You know, the face is the moneymaker.
Oh yeah, big time, big time. And Matt Eberflus, in other news, Coach Flus, as I believe some of the players used to call him, Coach Flus, sacked by the Bears. Because obviously, because I could have told you, if not did tell you, before the season, that this wasn't going to work. Why have they wasted the first year of Caleb Williams with a coach that was going nowhere, with a bad offensive system? I don't understand it. I don't get it. What had Eberflus shown the Bears to make them trust him with this player and this team this year? And it was just summarised by that awful clock management at the end of the Thanksgiving game. I've no idea what they were doing. Okay, Caleb Williams should know better. But by the way, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's your job to kind of step in there and say, hang on a second, let's call a timeout because we've still got a timeout left. We're going to run the clock down here and not do anything. But yeah, do the Bears hand Ben Johnson a blank check, Sharples?
I mean, why not? Like you've got this hopefully lightning in a bottle that is Caleb Williams. Why not go out and just try and surround him with a difference maker? Exactly. Because realistically, the league you're in, if you go and do it and it doesn't work, you just get rid of him anyway. So, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think they should do. And I texted Lou about this the other day. And, you know, there was this idea floated that, well, there might be a lot of kind of opportunities. But I do think coaches will want the Chicago job because not everywhere has Caleb Williams. So, whether he'll go in division, I don't know. But that is certainly what I would do if I was them. But I'm not, so that's good.
Who are you?
I'm the host of a NFL fantasy football podcast in the UK.
Ah.
I'm not a decision maker at the Chicago Bears. However, I think my resume based on that is more than viable to get a fairly decent high up job at the Bears.
I would say
judging
so.
From what I've seen of that franchise since I've been watching the NFL. quickly, I just want to give a shout out to some playoff strategy defenses, kind of. So defenses that I think have got a good run in over the next few weeks. So maybe get them in and sit on them if you can, like I've been doing with one of these defenses. Whether you play them this week or just keep them for those playoffs. So the Bills play the Patriots and the Jets in championship week in the fantasy playoffs. And the Bills have been a really good defense as well. You know, obviously, some of the really good defenses have got hard matchups. But if you have got a really good defense, then of course, you're going to want to stick with them. But the Bills have got the Patriots and the Jets. Buccaneers, who've been okay, have got Dallas and Carolina in the playoffs at some point. Indianapolis have got the Titans and the Giants as well. So maybe think about, if you're someone who streams defenses, think forward, get them in early if you've got a kind of a spur spot on your roster to put one of these defenses in. And there's just some to kind of maybe target there. All right, then. Week 14? Is that correct?
That is correct.
14. Most fantasy playoffs will probably start next week in week 15, with the championship week being in week 17. So, you know, we're here. We're still with you. If you're kind of still alive and you need to win this week, listen up to these players, especially since we've got a bit of a bi-apocalypse this week. Ravens, Patriots, Colts, Commanders, Texans, Broncos, all on bye weeks, so you might need to stream some of these players at these positions. Put your faith in us, and you trust me, we won't do you wrong here. It's not like one of us is about to recommend the quarterback of the Raiders. Anyway, we'll start off looking forward to next week, as we always do.
Forget about it!
With the forget about it section, players that are locked into your lineup, no matter what, don't even think about it. Just play them at the quarterback position. Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow.
Forget about it.
Running back position, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Josh Jacobs.
Forget about it.
Wide receiver position, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Puka Nacua, yeah.
Forget about it!
We'll have Nacua in there. Tight end position, Brock Bowers, Travis Kelce, Trey McBride, George Kittle.
Forget about it!
Now, of course, the forget about it, so the creme de la creme, the absolute best options at their position. And then there's going to be a bunch of in-between guys, because we're not always going to be targeting the guys in between the forget about it and kind of like the absolute streamers. We're looking for value here in our projection beaters. We're looking for, if you're looking at an ESPN projection and you need someone to beat that projection, even just by 4 points or by a lot more than 4 points, that's what these players are there for. With that in mind, I'm going to start first, Sharples. I want to get this one out of the way. Okay. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Now, I wasn't joking a minute ago when one of us has picked the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders, unfortunately. And I'm not proud of this, but I am going Aidan O'Connell, AOC.
Oh my, I assumed when you said that it was Lewis.
It's me. It is me. Let me just check who Lou's got. Yeah, Lou's is a lot better than mine. It is me. I have got AOC projected the 14.3 against Lewis's quarterback. You know, he's at Tampa Bay. As I said, I'm not proud of this one particularly, but the Bucs are currently bottom two versus fantasy quarterbacks, allowing almost 25 fantasy points per game. That's, 11 more points than O'Connell is projected. He's shown the ability to open it up. He had a huge game last year. I want to say it was against the Chiefs on Christmas Day. I'm going to check that in a minute. But he did throw 340 yards and 2 touchdowns this past week against those same Kansas City Chiefs, who are a defense which we've all been gushing about all year, hoping that he can kind of use this plus matchup to target Brock Bowers, hyper-target Brock Bowers rather, and I'm putting him forward as a decent streamer if you've got one of those quarterbacks on bye. And just to cover my own back, I'm sorry. Okay, Sharples, who have you got?
I never thought I'd see the day where you recommend our listeners to start a jacket potato at quarterback. Well, this is overlapping a bit now because I didn't think anyone would pick any of these names, but I'm gonna ask you a question, Al. What do some of these names have in common?
Okay,
Derek Carr, Cooper Rush, Tommy DeVito, Aiden O'Connell, Aaron Rodgers.
What do they all have in common?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They are all inexplicably higher projections than Jordan Love this week.
Okay.
Love projected 13.6 points. That's why I'm picking him. I can't believe that. It's for me, that's an unbelievable score. That's one you got to attack. Listen, they're going up against the Lions. I get it. Lions have been unbelievable this year. Really staunch defense, certainly not to be sniffed at. But for me, this game is going to be the shootout of the week. Neither teams are afraid of slinging it. I know Jordan Love has thrown two million interceptions this year, but I just think he's going to get too many opportunities. He's going to have the need to throw it because you know the Lions are going to be coming. And all he needs to do is a couple of hundred yards and 2 touchdowns, and that is a hit. If the projection was sort of 16-17, I'd be worried because, like I said, this Detroit defense isn't a joke. But I just don't know who at ESPN has been allowed to set that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems oddly low for a player who can go completely off.
There's only 4 starting quarterbacks that have got lower projections. One of them is Kirk Cousins, then there's Bryce Young. Then the other two are Justin Fields, who's projected 1.4, and Trey Lance at 0.5. That's just disrespectful.
It is, to be fair. I just looked back, by the way. It wasn't against the Chiefs. It was the week before last year that AOC had the huge game against the Chargers, in which the Raiders won 63-21. AOC with the 248 yards and the 4 touchdowns, expecting a repeat of that this week.
I was surprised when you said that Chiefs game, because I vividly remember watching that last year and moaning about it on this podcast, because that particular game was dire. Yeah. And I feel like that was one of his historically bad games, where he literally threw for about 5 yards. He set some kind of record for, I think it was most incompletions.
Okay, well, the thing is, can only go up from there then.
That is true.
You led me into that one. Can only go up from there. Running back, I'm going to go DeAndre Swift, projected 15.2 at San Francisco. I targeted San Fran last week with my running back and it paid off. I did it last week because San Francisco seemed to allow a decent amount of receiving yards to running backs quite often, which is true. However, James Cook did a lot of his damage on the ground this past week, pretty much all of it, though he did have one reception that went for 13 yards. Swift is over 30 receiving yards in 3 of his last 4 games, which might not sound that much, but you know, Sharples, those kind of, like, you know, 30 receiving yards, 3 receptions, 2 receptions, those 3, 4, 5 points add up at the running back position. It's what makes kind of those pass catching running backs really valuable. And I think Swift is a pretty similar build and style of player to Cook. And with San Francisco being bottom 4 against fantasy running backs, I had to go back to that well and, target them again. So DeAndre Swift, 15.2. Oh, sorry, I didn't say we did it again. I did it again. I forgot to say Lewis's quarterback. It's Baker Mayfield. He's got Baker Mayfield against the Raiders. Sharples, who's your running back?
I've gone for Tony Pollard, running back of the Titans. Quite a hefty projection. This is a similar projection as what David Montgomery had last week. This is 16 points exactly. The main reason I've picked him, he's not been having a fantastic year. I think he's currently RB20, but the Jags have given up the second most points to fantasy running backs, mainly because they've been that terrible that teams just get up ahead against them and start running the ball. And in those kind of games that the Titans have had, Pollard's been really good. They played New England, he had a big game. They played Miami earlier in the season when, without Tua, had a really good game. And even a couple of weeks ago against the Houston Texans, who, like we said, haven't been at it. Another big game, 24 carries, 119 yards. Adding to that, similar to what you just mentioned about Swift, the last few games, 4, 5, 6 receptions, so he's got a bit of a pass-catching threat. I just think this particular game is going to have a lot of volume, get himself into the end zone. And 16 points, although it's high, I think very beatable against this Jacksonville team.
Nice, I do like that, and I agree. Very beatable against Jacksonville, especially if he can get kind of into the end zone. Lewis has gone for James Cook, copycat. James Cook projected 16.5 at the Rams, who are a plus matchup for running backs. We'll go wide receiver. I've gone for JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, projected 14.5 at Arizona. Now, you've got the wide receiver 9 on the season here, not a particularly hard matchup, and projected just the 14.5. Yes, please, let's start JSN this week, especially with Metcalf coming into the week banged up with that knee tweak as well. So I'm going to go JSN at wide receiver sharps. Who have you got?
Going back to the Green Bay Packers, like I mentioned, I think it's going to be a high scoring game, so I want pieces in this game. And with that, I've gone for Jaden Reed, wide receiver. Again, I mean, there's not much to say other than I've been repeating myself. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. Jaden Reed, although, I mean, I suppose he is the wide receiver one on that team, but they don't have like a complete alpha. They've got good players in there, Watson and Wicks, but I do think Jaden Reed is the go-to guy. I think he's going to get plenty of chances. I think the Packers are going to need to throw the ball. And as good as the Detroit defense have been, they have given up the fourth most points to fantasy wide receivers this year. So there is scope to get at them. And couple that with the fact that Detroit are probably going to put up a lot of points. Need Love to keep slinging. I'm hoping that Reed's going to be a beneficiary of it. And I think it's nice to have the quarterback and the wide receiver with the same team. I'm putting my eggs in one basket. But hopefully it's a very nice handcrafted wicker basket.
Lovely stuff. I feel like Jaden Reed's one of those players as well that, you know, even still at this point of the season, even though he's been kind of a little bit hot and cold sometimes, I feel like he's one of those players that listeners kind of might need some confidence in starting this week in particular. So I agree, I would be playing Jaden Reed this week for the reasons that you just said, you know, the idea that it should be a shootout. He seems to be the guy that Love likes going to. So yeah, I agree. Lou's got Darnell Mooney at his wide receiver position, who is projected 12.1 against Minnesota, who are the bottom-ranked defense against fantasy wide receivers. That should be a bit of a home run from Lou. The tight end position, I'm going to go Noah Gray, projected 7.7 versus the Chargers. Now, 15 targets over the past 3 games. Tight end 4 over that period, Noah Gray's been. Can't go unnoticed anymore. I do still have confidence in Kelsey, but they're using Gray purposefully now, and there are targets to be had in this kind of receiving core for the Chiefs. So I'm going Noah Gray, 7.7. He's been kind of eclipsing that pretty easily recently. So yeah, Noah Gray, who have you got, Sharps?
Gone for Sam Laporta again, going back to that Detroit and Packers game. I was struggling a little bit for tight ends. There's the guys at the top end of the projections, the forget about it's, and sort of in the rest of the field. But yeah, I'm going for Laporta. Certainly hasn't been the season that we thought it'd be for him. I know he was probably top two, if not the first tight end going off the board in drafts. He's been really consistent. Definitely. And last week, gets himself 2 touchdowns. So you're thinking, oh, it must be a mammoth game. Only 15.6 points, because those 2 touchdowns were from 3 catches and 6 yards. So not amazing, but I think there's going to be plenty of ball going around, like I've said. Packers, middle to back end against fantasy tight ends, so I don't think there's too much danger there. And I just wanted to pick someone who had the potential to go off rather than just playing it safe and trying to sort of meet a projection. So, risky one, but I've gone for Laporta.
Nice. And Lewis has gone for Tucker Kraft. He loves Tucker Kraft, particularly in that game as well. Lee's gone Tuckercraft. Is it Green Bay that we're sure Lewis is a supporter of? I'm sure it is, isn't it?
It is Green Bay.
It is Green Bay, and he loves Tuckercraft and he loves Jordan Love. So he's gone for Tuckercraft in that same game, which I think is a good show as well. Speaking of Week 14, though, Week 14 game to your sharps, is it looking good?
Reasonable. I've got a few in the meh, but there's some good games there. Only one in the great, though. You can probably guess which one it is by how much I've talked it up. Lions-Packers.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be unbelievable. I'm very excited. What time's that on?
I want to say it's... Is it the early game? Let me just double check. Yeah, it's the Thursday night game our time. Technically Friday morning.
You're joking.
So
you're
unfortunate.
Joking.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be watching the highlights.
Moving into the good, we've got four of them in here. I've got Cardinals, Seahawks. I've got Rams, Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then these two, I don't know. You might have some questions, but I've got Chargers, Chiefs, and Bengals, Cowboys.
I think Chargers, Chiefs. On paper, it could be great, but with how those two teams, because of the records,
yeah.
But with how those two teams are playing, I understand why it's only in good, because it could be a very boring game. I'd love to hear the thinking of Cowboys Bengals, though.
Listen, it's not me buying the Cowboys or anything, but I just think these two particular teams. Obviously, we know what the Bengals can do offensively, but they also have given up a tremendous amount of points. I just think this could be a really fun, high-scoring game. Not one that you're looking at and going, oh, it's two great teams, but I just think there might be a lot of points in this one. So that's why I went
for it. Okay, nice.
Into the meths, where the bulk of them are. I've got Dolphins, Jets, Steelers, Browns, Vikings, Falcons, Eagles, Panthers, Buccaneers, Raiders, and 49ers, Bears.
I would agree. I would agree with those. Some okay teams, some teams in flux, some bad teams, yeah.
Yep, and then in the bad, we've got the two. We've got Giants, Saints, and Titans, Jaguars.
I would agree with that. Would you call me crazy if I said I think the Rams might beat the Bills?
I would not call you crazy, although I would advise you to put a wager on there, because I think you'll be betting against the bookies on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I want closing fours. I want us to, speaking of the Rams and these kind of fringe or these wild card playoffs teams, you know, the playoffs teams that are division winners, the kind of like seeds 5, 6, 7. I want us to both say who we think the cliche team would be. You know, the classic cliche, you wouldn't want them rolling into your place in January. Who of the current 7 seeds? So if we're trying to work out, or should I say the 5, 6, 7 seeds. So if we're trying to work it out, so currently in the AFC, we've got the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Broncos, who would be at that 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
And in the NFC, we'd have the Commanders, the Vikings, and the Packers. Who out of those is the... You wouldn't want them rolling into town in January for you.
I think of those teams, it would be the Packers, but I kind of feel like the Packers, the Commanders, and the Ravens feel a little bit too good to be considered as that team. And so just by that metric, I think I probably would go with the Rams, because with the weapons that they've got, you know, between Stafford and Puka and Cooper Kupp and Kyren Williams, they could roll anyone on the wrong day.
Yeah, because obviously the Rams currently, I think their way in is going to be by winning that division. But I agree with you, the Rams maybe more so than some of those teams. I think the Packers, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to, just ask Dallas, you know what I mean? You do not want them coming into town. Because they really could beat anyone on the day, I'm a fan of McVay and the Rams, and I think there's something to be said about a team and a coach and a kind of group of players somewhat who've been there and done it.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Rams are a good show. But that's going to do us, Sharps. Good luck to everyone in the final week of the regular season. We hope you make your playoffs, and we'll be here next week to talk you through those first round fantasy playoff starts. Thank you very much for listening. See you later.
Bye bye.